Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 9. Sunday nights we've been going through and preaching on the teachings of Christ. And we've been doing this in a chronological order. And so it's really a study through the Gospels, but focused on the actual teachings, the lessons that Christ himself taught to his disciples as he was discipling them for a very, very important work in their lives, and that is the New Testament church. As we look here in chapter 9, Jesus begins teaching of his death and his resurrection. That's very important because the disciples looked to him as the Messiah, but they were still not understanding this church age, and they would have been looking to him as would the Jews for the Messiah who was to come to lead them in the millennial reign of Christ. And they had lost sight of, they did not view the church age in their thinking. And so Christ was coming to present to them the church age, coming to present to the world that he would be the sacrificial lamb that would take away the sins of the world. And so all this has taken place. So very important as they start hearing him teach them of his death, burial, and resurrection. And so go ahead and stand with me. Let's read here. Mark chapter 9. Book of Mark chapter 9. And just three verses here tonight. Verse 30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. After that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again tonight, and we thank you for the privilege to be back in church. Thank you for your presence here once again. Thank you for how you've just worked through the service to be a blessing. But now as we've opened up the Word, we've read this passage of Scripture, and Lord, I know that there's a message that you have for each one of us, and so I pray that we would each and every one open up our hearts and minds, stay focused on the message and receive whatever it is that you have for us. And then after we receive it, help us to make the application. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Jesus would actually teach about his death, burial, and resurrection, knowing that they would not understand. Not that they could not have understood, but he knows. He was God. And he taught them knowing that they would not understand. And verse 32, it says, they understood not. He would have known that. But then the second part of that is, and they were afraid to ask him. Yeah. In Matthew's account of this very same teachings of Christ, Matthew reveals that they were exceeding sorry after he taught them of his death and his resurrection. Now, for them to be exceeding sorry would have meant that they were focused on his death, not the resurrection, but they were focused on his death. Can I tell you that what they did is what a lot of people do. They reject what they did not want to hear, thinking that if I reject it, I don't have to give an account for it. If I just say, no, that's not for me to understand, and that's really not whatever it might be, that I can just get by with not having to apply that portion of Scripture to my life. Too often we do want to pick and choose what we believe and what we don't believe, and what we want to apply and what we don't want to apply. But that's not the way it is. We will be accountable for the entire revelation of God to man. God will judge all people, whether it be lost or saved, according to his word. That's why he promised to preserve his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. It's there for people to learn so they're without excuse, even if you don't learn it. Because most of the time it's available for you to learn if you wanted to learn it. But you don't want to focus on it because that might cause you to have to make some changes in your Christian life. Amen? That's just the way it always has been. And so we find here that Jesus addresses this and he is presenting to them something that was very, very important for them to understand because he is revealing to them the church age and what will take place, what would usher in the church age, and how that would continue to affect the world and all humanity. Verse 31, and shall kill him, and rise the third day. Two main things right there. They would have to learn that they would have to experience the death of Christ. But because of the death of Christ, they could experience a resurrection. They should have asked. They should have asked. These were life-changing issues. When you realize there is no excuse for ignorance, there is no excuse for not knowing, you should ask. You should make sure of what the Bible teaches, what God will expect out of Christianity. If you don't know, you should ask. Yeah. When I was in Bible college, I remember a professor, he said, there's no stupid questions. The only stupid thing is not to ask. Yeah, Dr. Brainine told me that. Something that I've held on to all these years. Because if it's something you need to know, and you could know if you just asked, why wouldn't you ask? Unless you don't want to know. You're afraid to know. Because then if you know it is Bible, then you have to make some decisions. Wow. My college professor wanted his students to learn. God wants us to learn. God wants us to know his word. He doesn't present it to us in a mystery or in a way that we can't understand. He presents it to us in a way that it needs to be presented for us to understand. And if you don't understand, then you need to ask. You need to show some initiative, some desire to want to learn, some desire to want to grow, some desire to want to know everything that God would have us to know. And God would have us to know everything about this Bible. If you don't know, ask. Ask. You see, they would later ask him. I love it. Acts chapter 1. Now that he's resurrected, and they start thinking about everything that he had presented to them, in the very first of the book of Acts, it reveals some things about when Jesus met with the apostles and he stayed with them for some 40 days and he was instructing them and revealing to them everything that he had presented before. He is now making it applicable for them in this New Testament church age as they would go through the apostolic age. And in chapter 1 in verse 6 and 7, when they were therefore were come together, the apostles in Christ, they ask of him. They learned. They were afraid to ask, and then they had to go through everything they went through. Now afterwards, they see the resurrected Christ, and they said, we should have asked way back then. And now we find that they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Just know it's going to be restored. Know there's going to be a rapture. Know the church age is going to be going to complete everything that God wants it to complete in humanity. And then after that, there will be a rapture. After that, there will be a millennial reign. Then after that, there's no more time. It's eternity. He says, not for you to know. Now, that's a little ironic. They were afraid to ask. But when they did ask, he told them it wasn't for you to know. But at least they knew that it wasn't for them to know. Amen. I like that. Sometimes what we're taught is to prepare us for what's to come, even though you don't know what's to come. But he will present to you the teachings and the help that you know that you will need to be able to face what he knows we're going to face. Matthew chapter 26, because that's what we find here with Peter, especially. In Matthew chapter 26, Peter didn't understand it all, and he fled, and now he is reverting back to the old Peter. And we find here in chapter 26 and verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, Peter, who said he would die for Christ, he would not forsake him, he would never turn away from him, as we preached on this morning. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Look at verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of the Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So what he was taught, even though he did not understand and he didn't ask for the understanding of it, he applied it when he needed to apply it. Wow. I remember my dad saying, it hurts me more than it hurts you. Now, he didn't say that to me. He said it to all the girls. I think he liked beating on the boys. I do remember thinking, then give me the belt. Yeah, I don't want you to hurt. I don't want to hurt, so give me the belt. Don't do it. And then I had children. And I remembered, and it was true. One of the hardest things that you'll do, especially dads with those little girls, is to physically discipline them when they need to be disciplined. I heard a preacher say that you always discipline with a tear in your eye. If you do it with a smile on your face, it could be abuse. Yeah. But I got it. Jesus taught his disciples, even though they wouldn't understand, because it was better to hear and not understand than to not hear at all. Sometimes you have people to come in church and they might be kind of ignorant to the things of God, but they come to church and they hear the message being presented by the pastor. They might not understand everything, but at least it is within their subconscious mind. When you read your Bible, you might not be able to understand every passage of scripture that you read, especially when you get into Leviticus and all the different, the laws, the Pentateuch, the five books of the Pentateuch. Some of those things you just read and say, I don't know what I just read, but at least it's in my mind. It's better for you to read and not understand than not to read at all, because when you read that, then your mind takes it in. And even though your conscious mind might not be able to bring it back up, it's in your subconscious mind, and the Holy Spirit of God knows what's in your subconscious mind, and His Spirit can bear witness with your spirit, and He can bring that to your conscious mind anytime and every time that you need it. Better to hear and not understand than to not hear at all. Because biblical truth will never return void. Luke chapter 24. When you present biblical truth, it will never return void. Luke chapter 24, verse 6. The resurrection, the disciples go to the tomb. He is not here, but is risen. Remember? He taught you that. You might not have understood it, but it's in your memory banks. It's in your mind. It's in your subconscious. You didn't understand it. You didn't even ask when you should have asked, but you didn't ask, but you still heard what he taught you. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And verse 8, and they remembered his words. Yeah, they didn't understand it. They didn't even consciously keep it on their minds. It fell in over to that subconscious, which God designed the brain for that. Whether you realize it or not, anything your eye has ever seen is stored in your subconscious mind. And what you store in your subconscious mind, because of you storing it there, you also give the devil access on what you have there. He knows what you saw, and he'll use it against you for as long as you live, until you learn how to overcome it. Everything that you've ever heard, the brain has more gigs than any computer. Megabytes, I don't know all that. I just know that before you could have never believed what can go on a little chip. And we have that kind of technology today because God gave it to us. He designed your brain to be able to put into a subconscious mind everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever heard, everything you've ever felt, which can be good and can be bad. Because that which can be used of God will be used of God for good. And that which can be and can be used of the devil will be used of the devil for evil if you allow it. Can't go back and erase it. Have to flush it out. by having more good than evil to call on. They remembered his words. What they would eventually realize through this teachings of Christ, found in verse 31, look back there with me to our text. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. What they would eventually realize is that Jesus came to be delivered. Man could never have crucified the Son of God if he didn't allow it. It was a voluntary sacrifice. John chapter 10, let me read these verses to you, write them down and go back and study them later. But John chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18, therefore Jesus says this, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus, out of his love for God, out of his love for humanity, he volunteered himself to be the sacrificial Lamb of God. He laid it down because it's exactly what we needed. In Galatians in chapter 1, Paul would write to the church of Galatia, and he would start out this letter to the Galatians by saying these things. Galatians in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that great to know? Yeah. What they would eventually realize is that Jesus would deliver himself. Verse 31, the second thing that they would eventually realize, he would have to be killed. He come knowing that he would be crucified. Possibly the most horrendous death of all. Hebrews in chapter 9, let me read this to you, verse 22. Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. That's Old Testament. And this is both. And without shedding of blood is no remission. There had to be the shedding of blood. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, the patterns that God established in Old Testament Israel and now New Testament Christianity. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Because the blood of Jesus Christ washes away the sins of humanity, washes away the sins of all who would look to him and confess their sins. He saves us by washing away our sins and justifying us before an almighty God through the blood that would be spilt because of the crucifixion. He had to be killed. God become man to die for man. Isn't that powerful? That's what he wanted them to learn. That's what they would eventually learn. That's something that we need to learn as well. Through the teachings of Christ, Jesus would deliver himself. He would have to be killed. What they failed to look to. They focused on his death and being killed, and they were sorry and they were afraid to ask. But what was connected to that? He would rise the third day. What they failed to understand at first would be the greatest hallelujah of all. Victory over death. The greatest victory of all, whether you realize it or not, you need to realize it, is salvation gives you victory over death. If you are saved, you'll never die. What do you mean, preacher? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This body's going to die, but who I am, what God saved is my soul, my spirit, and I will never die. If you know you're not going to die, but you're going to graduate to heaven, doesn't that take the sting out of death? Does that take the fear out of dying? It does for me. My family does not like me to talk about that. When I died, I had no fear. I have no fear of dying. If I die tomorrow, I praise the Lord. I'm going to be present with the Lord. Don't mourn for me. Rejoice. That is the greatest hallelujah of all. Victory over death. The older we get, the more we look for the victory. Unless you're fearful. Unless you think you're going to die and go to hell. No, God doesn't want you to have that fear. He wants you to have a peace of eternal life. But too often we focus on the wrong things. They focus on the death, not the resurrection. Stop focusing on the death. It's appointed that a man wants to die. It's going to take place if the rapture doesn't take place. But I'm focused more on the resurrection, the life, the victory. Can I tell you, even today in our society, Christians focus more on the don'ts instead of the blessings of the do's? Oh, devil would love to get you focused on the don'ts. Yeah. Because then you don't want to hear all the Bible. You're afraid there's going to be something that's going to speak to you that might cause you to have to change your lifestyle. Yeah, stop focusing on the don'ts. Focus on the do's. Today, believers, we battle with the world and we battle with the flesh because there is a devil. Today, we battle with separation. We battle with standards. We battle with modesty. We battle with holiness because we're looking at the don'ts. And you look at that as a negative. when you ought to be looking at those battles as positives. Because each one of these battles are opportunities to glorify God in a world that needs Christian separation, standards, modesty, holiness, so that we might glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm done here, I'm going to finish, but they focused on the wrong things. They were even afraid to ask. They were sorry over what they heard when they could have understood the most hallelujah things of all were focused on that, what he taught them. He would resurrect. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which is in you? Holy Ghost, which is in you, which makes your body a temple because of his presence. If you'll not do it for you, do it for him. Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which ultimately, if you will, which are God's. Do you see that as a negative? Be holy, for I am holy. Come out from among them, be a separate. God gives us directions for standards and modesty and morality. Don't fail to acknowledge these as opportunities. One thing that I can do as a man that no woman can do, I can glorify God as a man. And I ought to have a desire to be the man that God wants me to be, because being the man that God wants me to be is a testimony to my God that will glorify him when people look and they see a testimony of a man who wants to be a husband, who wants to be a father, who wants to be a representation of Christ to this lost and dying world. That's glorifying God. That's an opportunity I have to glorify God through living as God would have me to live, and that is having to separate myself from the world. One thing that every woman in here can do that a man cannot do: glorify God as a woman. Can I tell you, this world is in great need of a godly woman's influence. It might be the reason we're in the shape that we're in as a country today is we've lost sight of the man's influence, and we've lost sight of a godly woman's influence, and we're not glorifying God as we ought to be glorifying God in the areas of separation, standards, modesty, and holiness. Truths are taught. You might want to, might not want to understand them. You still will give an account for them. It is the Bible. It is what God has given us to focus on and to live by. As a preacher, as a church, we just need to keep teaching truths. Even though people might not understand it at first. But eventually, God can bring them back into your conscious mind for you to apply them as God would have you to apply them. The teachings of Christ are for us today. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Wow. Teachings of Christ. We don't get to choose, pick and choose. We have to accept it all. Because God has a plan for it all. God has a plan for his church and believers. And as we follow his plan, it's an opportunity. It's not a negative, it's a positive. It's an opportunity to represent Christ as a man and as a woman who is yielded to holiness and righteousness and godliness. Father, we bow before you tonight and we thank you for this truth and the teachings of your disciples and how they would eventually be able to understand and apply them and to glorify you and through their lives. And I pray that we might likewise do the same thing. Bless in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.